So you talk about faithfulness and staying with the task and seeing God do a lot of great things in that country. And she was grew up in Wisconsin, in the northern part of Wisconsin, dairy farm family. So she probably was doing chores and milking cows at the age of three or so. I don't know if that's true. But God has used her in so many different ways, working with children, ministries with teaching people. She has a great gift of teaching, I feel. And also training pastors to know how to serve the Lord in that way. A gift of music she has. I was thinking some people do a lot and don't do it very much very well. But she does a lot and does everything well, I feel. And the gift of her heart for the Lord and for missions is a real blessing. So she's going to be transferred to the Dominican Republic, as she'll share. And she had mentioned, along with Bob Brocker, both in the Dominican and Venezuela, big-time baseball fans down there. So maybe she can recruit some future Pirate stars for us. We need it very much, Valerie. Valerie, thank you for sharing.
What a joy it is to be here as we worship together. I was thrilled as we sing praises to our Lord and as we listen to the music, the song that we just heard about being an instrument, being willing to serve. How wonderful it will be when all of us can be gathered around this throne, worshiping the Lord together. And that is something we will do for all eternity. Missions will not continue for all eternity, but it's a necessary thing today so that there will be people from every tribe and nation gathered around the throne. I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be here in these days. It's been a great joy. And I want to share a little bit about what God is doing in South America, especially in Ecuador. If you all know where Ecuador is located, it's a small country located there on the map between Colombia to the north and Peru to the south, and it's located right on the equator. Ecuador is truly a land of beauty. It's a wonderful place to live. I've enjoyed so much having these years of serving there and enjoying all of the beauty of this land. Quito, the capital city, is where I've lived most of the time. It's located high in the Andes Mountains, about 9,500 feet elevation. And it's beautiful to see all the snow-covered mountains around, see the volcanoes. But sometimes it's not so pleasant to be around a volcano. And that happened a few years ago. We had two volcanoes that became rather active. And one of them was right by Quito, Huayhuapichincha. And there was a big cloud of ash that went up in the air, and you never know where it's going to land. And there were a couple of times that it looked just like it was snowing. It causes a lot of problems. They have to shut down the airport when that happens, and you have to get rid of all of that ash. You have to wear masks over your faces. We don't have other kinds of problems like tornadoes and things like that, but we do have volcanoes. There was another volcano also a couple of hours south of Quito that continues to be active now and then and causing a lot of problems. But it's beautiful to live high in the Andes Mountains. Quito is a very old city that goes back several hundred years. We see the old colonial part, but it's also very modern, and we see a lot of restaurants that would look familiar to you. But it's beautiful, the scenery around, and it's such a perfect climate. Being right on the equator, you would think it would be hot, but it's not because it's so high up, so it's about 70 degrees all year round. And it's right on the equator, as I mentioned. You can go to the equator and put one foot in one hemisphere and one foot in the other hemisphere. Ecuador is blessed with a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables all year round that we enjoy greatly. We also have modern supermarkets. Ecuador is where the Alliance Academy is located, the school for missionaries' children, and there are many teachers, Alliance teachers, that continue working there. Ecuador is not just mountains, it's also the coastal area on the Pacific Ocean. There are beautiful beaches and also the largest city, Guayaquil. And to the eastern part of Ecuador, there are the jungle area. And also the Galapagos Islands are about 600 miles off the coast in the Pacific Ocean. One of the things we enjoy a lot in Ecuador are the fresh flowers, and especially as we think of Valentine's Day, when they were exporting a lot of flowers. It costs about $1 to buy 2 dozen roses in Ecuador. There have been difficulties, a lot of problems in Ecuador. We went through a very severe time of crises, economic crises a few years ago. Several of the banks closed, and the country changed from using their local currency, which had started at about 25 to the dollar and then went to about 25,000 to the dollar when they stopped using it and went to using U.S. dollars now. Ecuador is a country where Alliance missionaries went to serve many years ago, over 100 years ago. Missionaries first went there, and it was not easy. During those first years, it was very difficult, and they faced a lot of opposition. Like a story I want to share about this missionary, Ethel Federley, was a missionary who at first went to Quito and was working in the academy and the school there, but then she went by herself to Loja, a province to the south of Ecuador, and she did not receive a very great welcome. She was actually told that she should leave. She went to one town called Caracocha, and she told in her report to conference how she was received there. She was wanting to take literature and Bibles and sell to the people, but they told her that she should leave on the next bus and get out of town. They didn't want her to be there. There was a lot of opposition, but to one that told her that she should leave, she said, no, she wasn't going to leave. God wanted her to be there. And as she was walking down the street, some children knocked some tracts out of her hand. And as she stooped down to pick them up, there was a lady that came along and poured gasoline on her from her head down. She was afraid that they were going to light her on fire. And there was a man that lit a match, and she thought maybe it was him. But no, he lit his cigarette. And then as quickly as it flared up, it turned in her favor. There was a young man who was a student of hers, an English student from Loja, who stood up and defended her in front of the crowd and said that not only them, but the whole country would have to pay for what had happened. And when they accused him of being an evangelical as well, he said, not up until now, but I have just become one. And one of our missionaries, Richard Reichert, wrote a book about the history of missions in Ecuador. And he stated, that would probably be enough frontline evangelism to last most of us for a week or two, if not a lifetime. But we can see the courageous spirit of Ethel Federley, how she responded. She got up and went over to the corner and opened her Bible and began reading scripture to the people and talking to them. Then she went and washed her hair in the public tap out in front of where she was staying. And that afternoon, she went back out in the park, and the children came this time not to bother her but to ask for tracts. And she spent several days in that town handing out literature, selling Bibles, and she opened the way for the gospel. And now God has blessed the work in that province. Many missionaries had very hard times that they faced. And not only missionaries, but also some of the national workers. Jose Pucha is a man who is living in the mountain area of Ecuador, and he had gone to the coast to work, and he was an alcoholic. But he happened to go into an Alliance church. Even though he was drunk that night, the pastor stayed after and talked to him. And he went back, and he became wonderfully saved and went back to his area. And he continues to be a missionary to that province. He goes from village to village. And I had a wonderful time visiting them. They are very generous people. They offered lots of food to eat. Especially one of their favorite dishes is cuy, which is guinea pig that they like to eat. But what a joy it is to see the Church of Jesus Christ being built up all over the country. It's not easy. They still have opposition in some of the rural areas. I had the joy of working for a few years with Ecuadorian national women, and I worked with Amelia Lopez for a couple of years. She continues to serve the Lord and has worked for over 40 years, teaching children, sometimes filling in as a pastor of a church, and she is faithfully serving. But most of the time, I have worked in Quito, the capital city. And back in the early 80s, they began following a program of encounter with God. In Lima, Peru, there had been some principles that they learned about encounter with God, and Quito also was working in this. And God has blessed the work. It is open, very receptive people. And one of the examples of that is the Bataan Alliance Church that grew till it had 1,200 people in 3 Sunday morning services. And as they grew, they also began to have a vision to reach out and began to plant daughter churches. And right on the main avenue, the 10th of August Avenue, where there are hundreds and thousands of people go by every day, they were able to begin this church. Missionaries worked with them in a team to plant churches. And it was a joy for me to participate in this and also in other daughter churches, helping with the worship team and the music. This is the new church building that they just dedicated the last Sunday of January. God is at work. It is harvest time. And how we rejoice to see the churches growing, many people coming to know Christ. And the commitment of the mother church to see how they then began a second daughter church and later a third daughter church. In the second daughter church, they sent two of their own pastors, 170 people, and they gave a large amount of money and continued to give for a couple of years. And you can see on the graph the growth, how God blessed in their desire to reach out. In addition to church planting, missionaries often work in leadership training. We always are in need of more leaders. And I, for a few years, worked with the National Christian Education Department, planning workshops for training children's workers and other leaders. Also, we have seminary programs. There's a Quechua seminary in Quito. And it was a joy to teach there, and sometimes also in the Alliance Bible Seminary in Quito. We need more pastors and workers. But what we also are praying that there will be are missionaries, that people in Ecuador also will hear God's call to go into all the world. And it's been a great concern for us to see them catch that vision. And we rejoiced when they sent their first missionary, Pedro Huaycha, went as a missionary to Spain. And he's been working there for a couple of years and seeing the Lord bless, as there are many immigrants that go from Latin America. And just this past December, the national leaders prayed and dedicated a young couple who are going to Bolivia to begin as missionaries. Most of my time has been working in administration, working in the mission office, doing the accounting and secretarial work, working with the field director, Mike Welty. It is harvest time in Ecuador. And this past September especially, we were so blessed to see how God worked in a marvelous way. There was a crusade with Franklin Graham, who came for 3 days to Quito, and we met in a large Olympic stadium. And they were able to fill that stadium with over 40,000 people. I wish those early missionaries could see what God is doing today, the fruit of their labors, as they worked very hard, and now we are reaping the benefits of their labor. And we are missionaries in transition, working with the National Church. As we have been there for many years, over 100 years, now we are talking with the National Church president and other leaders, asking them how we can finish well, how we can complete the work that we are doing. And as we are many fewer missionaries now, we are a small team that continues to be there for a couple more years. But we often have talked about who's going to be the last one there, the one that's going to stay and turn out the lights. But we realize, no, that's not really the terminology we want to use. What we want to do is pass on the torch. We as missionaries have been there, working with them, and now it's time to pass on to the torch to our national workers, national pastors and leaders. Why do we send missionaries? There's an illustration that Hudson Taylor used to describe missionaries and compared them to a scaffold at a construction site. You know, when you start a building, you don't just put up a column in midair. Often they have to have a scaffold. And missionaries are like that also. As we go and help to build, a scaffold provides security. We help to provide security, help them as they are beginning, as they are new Christians, and as they are beginning to establish the National Church. A scaffold is a necessary inconvenience. You know, it may not be too pleasant to have to put up the scaffold and then take it down and move it somewhere else. And as missionaries, sometimes it's an inconvenience to have to move and get settled in a new place. It's not easy sometimes to learn the language, and perhaps we make a lot of mistakes many times in learning the culture, but it's a necessary inconvenience. A scaffold is not part of the building. You don't decorate and paint the scaffold. A scaffold is temporary. It's not there forever. You put it up just to help put up the building, and then you move it to a new place. And that's what's happening in missions in many countries. Like for, as I have worked in Ecuador, and now it's time to take down the scaffold, and I am being asked to go to another country, to go to the Dominican Republic. And like Bob and Joy Brocker, they worked for several years in Colombia, and now they have moved their scaffold to Venezuela, where they are working. We'd ask you to pray for us as we make transitions, and for all of us as we hear God's call. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." We thank the Lord for the work that the Christian Missionary Alliance is doing in many countries. Over 66 countries of the world, there are Alliance churches worshiping the Lord. There's still more to be done. And as we, together with those national churches, seek to obey God's call. What is the call? You know, we heard in the call to worship this morning how God calls us to salvation, calls us to receive His redemption, to be saved. He also calls us to be sanctified. But He calls us to serve. And in Matthew 28, we heard those verses read, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.'" God is calling us today to be His disciples, and then also to go and make disciples. How will we respond to the call? How can you be involved? How will you respond to the call? You can respond by joining us to pray together, to give together, to go together, and to send together. We can't do it alone. We need all of the team of God's people, all of God's family, joining together to accomplish that task. But why should I care about missions? Why do we have a missions conference every year, and why is it important? One of the first reasons is because the Bible is true on heaven and hell. If we believe that God's word is true, in Revelation chapter 20, it talks about he whose name has not been written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. People are lost. People around the world, many people, have not had that opportunity to have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to know about Jesus and how He wants to forgive their sins. Also because Jesus brings meaning to life. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life, and life more abundant." Jesus wants to give abundant life to all people. He wants to have them be sure of eternal life. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to bring meaning to life. Also, why should I care about missions? If I want to be obedient to Christ. And remembering the Great Commission when Jesus said in Matthew 28, to go and make disciples. Do I want to obey His command to go and make disciples? And the last reason is because of personal gratitude. Are we grateful for what God has done for us? In John 4, it talks about the woman at the well. This woman who Jesus came and was talking to, and as she had great need, and as she talked with Jesus, she realized that Jesus knew everything about her. And then Jesus offered her living water. And she was so grateful that she went quickly and told the people there. And many of them believe because of her testimony. Are we grateful for what Jesus has done for us? If we are, we will care about missions. We will want to go and tell other people. And as we think about living the call together, I was thinking about that some, and I thought about the call and an acrostic for those letters for the word call. I want us to think a little bit about come, abide, listen, and live. If we are going to respond to God's call, we need to, first of all, come. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Jesus calls out to us. First of all, that we would come and follow him, that we would be his disciple, that we would deny ourselves and take up our cross. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Jesus desires that we follow him, and he wants to make us a fisher of men. He also calls out for those who are weary. Sometimes we get tired, don't we? And Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and loaded down with burdens, and I will give you rest. For the yoke I will give you is easy, and the load I will put on you is light." Jesus wants to have us come to him with our burdens. Come to him, and he will give us something to do, but he says the load is light. And he also said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit." It's his call to us. He chose us. He calls out to us. Will we come to him? But then also, the letter A reminded me of the word that we need to abide. And in John chapter 15, it's so important to learn and practice what Jesus taught there about how we need to abide. He said, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Just as the branch cannot produce fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who abides in me while I abide in him produces much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." We have to be connected to him. We have to be daily communing with him and allowing him to indwell us. As we abide in him and he abides in us, we will be able to respond to the call. But also we have to listen. We have to listen to what he wants to say to us. Several times in Revelation, he said, "Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches." And perhaps we aren't sure what God wants us to do, where he wants us to go, how we can respond to the call. We need to ask him for wisdom. In James 1:5, it says, "Now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to everyone generously without a rebuke, and it will be given to him." He wants us to ask him, and he will show us. He will give us wisdom. But it also says that we're not just to listen. In James 1:22, it says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves." We aren't just to listen. We need to obey. We need to do what God tells us. And in Isaiah, it says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, you will hear a voice saying, 'This is the road. Now follow it.'" We need to ask him to show us the road. As we respond to his call, he will show us. He will guide us. He will direct the way so that we will know where we need to go. Then there's one more letter, the letter L. And as I think of that, I think of how important it is that we need to live. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. We are new creatures in Christ. Jesus lives in us, and he wants us to live for him. And it also says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God.'" He calls us to be his ambassadors, to live for him, to help other people to be reconciled to him. He wants us to live our lives for him. In Galatians 2:20, it says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, it's not I who live, but it's Jesus who lives in me. As I respond to the call, I will let him take control of my life. And I want to show that by illustrating with something. This is something that perhaps now you're ready to start putting away, but you all needed as you went through the cold winter time, a glove. And this glove isn't much good anymore, is it? It kind of just takes up space if it's still in our coat pocket and we don't need it. And this glove doesn't serve too much of a purpose except when we need it. And, you know, this glove is made in the image of something. It's made in the image of a hand, right? And it really is of no use all by itself unless it is filled with a hand. And then it serves a wonderful purpose. Then it can do lots of things. It keeps us warm. But how are we like a glove? We have been made in the image of God. God has made us in His image. And He has a purpose. He has a plan for each of our lives. But that plan cannot be completed unless we allow Jesus to indwell us, unless we allow Him to fill us. When we come to Him and ask Him to take complete control of our lives, and as we allow Him to conform us more and more to His image, then we will be able to live for Him. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. Do we desire to live for Him? Will we allow Him to live in us? In Colossians 1:27, Paul talked about a mystery to the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing His glory. Praise the Lord that we all have an opportunity to allow Jesus Christ to enter our lives, to transform us. But daily, we need to allow Him to indwell us, to fill us, that we could be an instrument of His. How will we respond to God's call? As God calls us to come to Him, to abide in Christ, to listen to what He wants to tell us, and to live our lives in a way that would please Him, that would help others to find Him. As Jesus is indwelling us, we can do that. As we think about that call, think about we have a mission, God's great commission. God is calling us. God is calling to each one of us today. How will we respond to His call? Jesus' last words to His disciple were in Matthew 28 when He said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." No matter where we are, no matter what we are doing, all of us can be involved in obeying that call to go and make disciples of all nations. We are living the call together when we respond. And do we desire to one day hear Jesus say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Will we be obedient? If not you, who? If not now, when? It's time that we would respond to God's call now. We have a mission, God's great commission. We must reach the lost. And I'd like to sing some words that remind us of that. And as I sing, we'll also watch some pictures and be reminded, what is our call to obey God's command to go and make disciples?
Everywhere, tearing down walls built by time. Others are fighting for causes and rights, laying it all on the line. But we have a mission far greater than these. We've been commissioned to go. We have a message of hope and real peace that all of the world needs to know. We have a mission to carry the gospel to every man that is lost. We have a mission. expression of love and compassion, no matter what the cost. Piercing the night with the light of truth, pointing the way to the cross. We have a mission, God's great commission. We must reach the lost. Hurting and broken, the masses cry out, desperate for answers to life. Nowhere to go when tragedy comes, piercing their hearts like a knife. The world just doesn't need another hero today. We'll tell them what they know they shouldn't do. They need to hear that somebody loves them, and it's up to me and you. We have a mission to carry the gospel to every man that is lost. We have a mission of love and no matter what the cost. Piercing the night with a light of truth, pointing the way to the cross. We have a mission, God's great commission. We must reach the lost.
Great to be a part of passing on good news to other nations, and it's a privilege we have. At my first missions conference, I sat there inspired by the news, but also feeling like, how can I be a part of that? I did two things, and I asked you to do those two things. It's something everybody could do, everybody in this room. I wrote down the name of the missionaries in my Bible. You could do that. Valerie Stelrecht wrote down the name of the country they were serving. Dominican Republic. Bob and Joy Brocker, Venezuela. So when turn to the Bible and pray for needs, I pray for missionaries. You can do that. Also, you can give on a regular basis. The question is, who will give? And the answer is that everybody can give. And so please do that. Give to missions, and you'll be teaming up with God's work around the world. And then the question, who will go? We have some young people in our church who heard the call to overseas missions in their heart. Rachel Wilson, sent to Paraguay. Jonathan Jaloski, who's in Tocoa Falls College, wants to serve the Lord overseas. Okay, believers who know Christ, they say, I can see myself serving God overseas. Maybe some young people feel that tug in their heart. Well, extremely interested in what foreign exchange students. They were the big hit in high school, you know. And you go to another country to pass Christ on to others. People are behind you. People are praying for you. And it's a wonderful thing. So as we sing the final song today, I have decided to follow Jesus. Invitations for the young folk here, mostly high school age, I believe, that they, or children, if you're here, if you feel like God's calling you to work overseas, I think I could work overseas as an overseas missionary. Could you just walk forward and stand up front, and Valerie will speak to you a little bit at the end of the service, and Bob and Joy also, and just say, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I'd like to serve like Valerie serves. I'd like to serve like Bob and Joy serves. And God will send you. He'll be faithful to you, and you'll have a lot of rejoicing serving the Lord that way. Could you stand with me and Fred lead us in singing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.